in your head. Which bit of your week is God's favourite? There you go. Or another one. What do you think is God's favourite profession? I got partly thinking about this week because my mate texted me saying, if Jesus played football, what position would he be? And I immediately said, in goal, because Jesus saves. Which I was quite, thank you very much. I was genuinely quite proud of the speed. But there was prompted a lot of discussion, actually. I was like a box-to-box midfielder because he is the instigator and the finisher. Something like that. He's the defender of the meek. So maybe you put him as sweeper. Anyway, much discussion. It was all a lot of fun. But it got me thinking about what is God's favourite job, like what are the kind of professions that God values. And then you read this kind of passage. So I don't know about you, but growing up, it was you kind of had a hierarchy of important jobs that you could do. And that hierarchy was not the same within churches outside of church. Because, like, if I chatted to my mates outside of church, what do you want to do when you grow up? Then it was, like, robotic. It was, like, doctor or lawyer. Doctor or lawyer. That was it. They were quite focused young people. I don't think that's probably why we didn't stay friends. Because what kind of childhood is that? Doctor or lawyer. But then within church, very different story. What do you want to do when you grow up? It was, like, you could be a worship leader. That was quite important. Worship leader was an important job. You could be a youth worker. That was kind of put on par with worship leaders. But then you could be a student worker. And that one seemed to be a bit more important. I wasn't quite sure why. You could be a church leader. You could be a minister. Then we were getting up to here, like higher echelons of holiness. And then it was like, and then it was missionary. And that was like the ultra, if you were called, that was the holiest job that you could ever have. Was a missionary. You were obviously if you were to be the holiest, you had to go to like the worst places in the world. Like you weren't allowed to be a missionary to Hawaii, which is what one of my friends was. But you can't call yourself a missionary if you're just on holiday, aren't you? If you're in Hawaii, doing beach whatever. Anyway, but this mentality, what is the most important? There's different levels of holiness. It seeps into lots of things, like. If you've ever been to a Christian festival or a Christian gathering where there's lots of people there, and if you've the worst bit of any Christian is the bit where they're flogging you stuff, you know, like the bookstore, and then next to the bookstore there's the organisation stuff, and they always want you to get you to sign up, don't they? Oh, sign up to this and support us in this, and then they always want you to do their gap year. I mean, maybe not for some of you, like. To be honest, you might have passed the gap year stage, no offense. But for others of you, like, do the gap year, that was a big thing. They always want you to do the gap year with them because, and the language they use suggested, oh yeah, you could go and get a normal job, but you could give God a year of your life. You could give God a year of your life and come and work for us doing an internship at a mission organization. You could give God a year of your life and you could come and work for this church for a year. You could give God. Look, as a minister, I'm not criticising people who work for churches. I'm certainly not criticising people who are missionaries and work for missionary organisations. We need these people. But let me tell you this. You can give God a year of your life regardless of what you are doing 9 to 5. You can give God a year of your life. You do not need to go to Uzbekistan in order to give God a year of your life. You do not need to have to sell all you have and sign up to this organisation and then work as an intern for it. You don't need to do that. Because Colossians says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Because I was thinking, what is God's favourite job? And I don't think he's got one. I honestly don't. I think it was rubbish that what my mentality was that like, oh, you're worship leader and then this and then this and then missionary. Rubbish. What is God's favourite job? Whatever you do. Do it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Because actually, it doesn't really matter what you do, does it? It matters how you do it. How you do something is way more important than what you do. As anyone who's ever been to public toilets will know. Because if you go, especially abroad, there's often like someone whose job it is to look after the toilets. Have we encountered this? Go to the public and there's like someone there and they've got the mop, and then sometimes you have to tip them because they're looking after the toilets and that's their job. And there are two types of public toilet look-afterers. I don't know what their title is. They don't often have a badge. You go in there and you meet the first type, and they look at you with such disgust that you have entered into their realm, and they're just looking at you being like, oh, more work for me. I have to mop up after your shoes. And they just kind of sit there, and the whole place is grubby and it's a bit messy, and they clearly have not really used their mop. They just use it to prop themselves up. And everything about them dislikes their work, and you can tell that they dislike their work that as soon as you walk in there. It's not a very pleasant experience. And, I mean, to be fair, I'm not saying I would enjoy it, but you get that sense, don't you? They don't want to be there. They're there because they have to be there. They don't feel like they've got any other choice. And their attitude conveys their feeling towards you of, you're just more work for me. But then sometimes, and it's not very common, but sometimes you go into one of those toilets and you see the pride. You ever experienced this? Those people, and it's like you've entered into their house. They're so happy to see you because they can show off the work they've been doing. And it's spotless. You could eat off the floor. I'm not suggesting it, but you could. Shiny floors. Everything is clean. As soon as you're there, they're straight there with a paper towel. Would you like a paper towel? And there's something about the way they hold themselves and the way that they act and the way that they're doing this job that demonstrates that they love it. That they're good at it. That they're not just doing it because they feel they have to in order to get a pay. They've decided, no, this is my job and I'm going to do it the best I can possibly do. And you know what? It's attractive. And their tip jar will reflect that. Because there's something about the way that they do even that fairly menial task of mopping a toilet floor. They do that in such a way that holds with honour and respect. And no, this is what I do. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. Because Colossians says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. The reason why I pick out that particular example is because when Paul writes this letter to Colossians, the vast majority of people who received it were slaves. So they are not doing fun jobs. They're not doing creative thinking and highly paid, successful in the world. Are they not climbing the social ladder? When the people who read this letter get it, they're probably trying to grab 5 minutes away from doing the other jobs that they've been ordered to do. And as a slave, they don't have any rights. They are the property of their master. They do not get a particularly fun life. And you can imagine the image as a slave of reading this. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, because most of them are slaves. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Whatever you do. Because God has not got a favourite job. And I don't know what your week is going to hold. I don't know if you're excited about the different tasks and things that you get to go. When I said to you, which bit of your week does God enjoy the most? I don't know what you came up with. Like, I don't know what you've got on Tuesday morning or Thursday afternoon. I'm sure there'll be some rubbish bits that you're not looking forward to, and there'll be some really good bits that you're excited about. But whatever you do, do it with all your heart, as though you were doing it for the Lord. Because God has not got a favourite job. God does not love you more when you are sitting here on a Sunday as when you are scrubbing dishes on a Tuesday. God does not love you more when you're having that awkward phone conversation with a family member on a Wednesday. He doesn't love you any more or any less when you're peeling those potatoes again. He doesn't love you any more or any less when you're shifting some chairs around. He doesn't love you any more or any less when you're sitting down and watching some TV. Whatever you do, God doesn't have a favourite job. Whatever you do, do it for the Lord. It would have been tempting for the slaves to think that their daily tasks were insignificant. But Paul says, you've got to change your mentality. You've got to change your mentality. Some of us here, we still think that some of our life doesn't matter to God. We still think, oh no, this is the important bit. The bit where I come to church, or the bit where I'm doing good, or the bit where I'm volunteering, or that. That's what matters. That bit, oh, God doesn't care about that. That bit, God doesn't care about. No. Paul says all of it matters. All of it matters. Whatever you do. Whatever you do. Do it in the name of the Lord. Do it with all your heart. I've attempted to cook. It's been a disaster. In the past. There are some things I know I'm good at in life. And there are some things I've resigned to the fact I will always be useless at. Cooking is one of them. It's Bake Off, isn't it? Everyone loves Bake Off. Yeah, we're a fan of Bake Off. Yeah. As is tradition, we kind of all have to contribute some baked goods over the course of Bake Off. I thought I will go for the easiest possible thing. So I went on BBC Food and I ordered it by difficulty. And I picked the easiest one. It was some ginger things. Apparently, there's a different... There's a difference between tuspus and tusp. Why? Why is a teaspoon and a tablespoon given such similar letters? When apparently they are very different and the quality of the cakes you produce vary wildly depending on whether you have a tuspus or a tusp. Quite frankly, it's ridiculous. And they should have made that clearer in the BBC Food Guide, despite me going for the easiest ones. Anyway, once no one could eat it because it just tasted of salt, we decided to bin them, eat something else. I know I'm not good at cooking. I know I am. There was once, a couple of years ago, where you would have found me in the kitchen, and it was, and honestly, it was like Michelin chef style. I mean, I made these little, like, breakfast things in a bite. It was incredible. It was like there was sausages and there was like it was wrapped in bacon. There was egg in the middle. It was fantastic. I mean, it was honest. It took me hours, but they were the most incredible food things I've ever cooked. It took me so long. I did all the research and I made sure I had all the right ingredients and I've got my tusks compared to. It was fantastic. But the reason why I put so much effort in, the reason why I've gone to all this effort and time. Was simply because it was the day I was asking Charity to marry me, so I thought, I need to make her happy in the morning. So she was coming round for breakfast. I thought, these better be flipping good. There's a lot riding on this bacon. Because I hate cooking. I know I'm rubbish at it. The difference wasn't what I was doing. It was who I was doing it for. That was the only difference. Who I was doing it for. That's what mattered. That was the heart behind it. To be honest, even if there'd have been a disaster, she probably would have given me an upgrade. Because it's not what you do, it's who you're doing it for. It's how you do it. It's your attitude behind it. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. It doesn't matter whether you feel you've got the most insignificant job, whatever it is in the week that you feel that doesn't matter to God, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. Do it for Him. That's what Paul says to the slaves in Colossae, and that's what he says to us. There is nothing about your week that is unimportant. No action you do this week doesn't matter to God. You do not have to quit your job. Don't have to go and volunteer for a missionary organisation. But if God's calling you to do that, great. You don't have to give up a year of your life to go and live in Uzbekistan to give a year to God, no. Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. Because He notices. He cares. You can do it well. Because we're doing it all for Jesus. I'm going to pray and then we're going to watch a short video. Jess, you can load that up. Good, thank you. Father, this week, I thank you that we're all going to do stuff that matters to you. Even if we don't feel it matters to us. We know that you see these things. That you watch us. That everything we do it for you, God. We want to speak in a way that honours you. We want to make phone calls in a way that honours you. We want to clean in a way that honours you. We want to do good work in a way that honours you. We want to treat the person at the checkout desk in a way that honours you. We want to drive and sit in traffic in a way that honours you, Jesus. Because all of it matters. All of it matters. We ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you would give us strength in order to see this through and do it in the name of Jesus. Amen.